love you, Liverpool, we do. We love you, Liverpool, we do. We love you, Liverpool, we do. Why, Liverpool, we love you.
Hallo, hier ist Nicole Walzer, englische Meisterin mit den Liverpool Ladies. Viel Spaß mit dem Herrengedeck und Andreas Kulig.
We do. Why, Liverpool, we love you.
Herrengedeck. Fußballkultur. Mit Musik.
Die erste Ausgabe des Herrengedeck Fußballkultur mit Musik in diesem gerade angebrochenen Jahr 2017. Live aus dem Studio in der Büchse begrüßt euch Andreas Kulig. Einen schönen guten Abend. Ich hoffe, ihr seid gut ins neue Jahr gerutscht und hattet einen wunderbaren Start. Ja, einen nicht ganz so wunderbaren Start, den hatte wohl Jürgen Klopp mit seinem FC Liverpool. Er muss sich erst noch an die enge Taktung des Spielplans in der Premier League gewöhnen. Während bei uns hier und andernorts Winterpause ist und ja, fußballlose Zeit sozusagen herrscht, ist in der englischen Premier League Hochbetrieb. Traditionell gespielt wird ja sowieso am 26. Dezember, dem sogenannten Boxing Day. Aber Jürgen Klopps Mannschaft, der FC Liverpool, hatte zuletzt 2 Spiele binnen nur 48 Stunden. Am Montag gab es ein 2:2 in Sunderland, gespielt wurde auch am Samstag davor. Lustig daran ist, dass beide Spiele nicht nur innerhalb von 48 Stunden, sondern auch in 2 verschiedenen Jahren stattfanden. Weniger lustig fand es natürlich Jürgen Klopp. Bei ihm löste die ganze Ansetzung der Partien nur Kopfschütteln aus. Er sagte, naja, es ist schwer, solchen Spiel zu beurteilen, weil ich ja noch keine Erfahrung mit so etwas habe, mit solchen Spielplänen. Und ich weiß überhaupt nicht, was ich für eine Leistung erwarten könnte. Dann konnte er sich einen Seitenhieb nicht verkneifen und sagte noch, naja, nächstes Jahr, wenn wir dann am 31. Dezember und am 1. Januar spielen, dann wissen wir mehr. Wenn Jürgen Klopp doch nur wüsste, er kann ja froh sein, dass nicht noch am Weihnachtsfeiertag, selbst an Heiligabend gespielt wird, denn der Football on Christmas Day hatte eine lange viktorianische Tradition in England. Und auf eben diese Tradition möchte ich heute Abend einen ausführlichen Blick werfen mit einem wunderbaren Text, den ich dem nicht minder wunderbaren englischen Fußballmagazin 442 entnommen habe. Und daher in English, please. A Victorian tradition lost. The history of football on Christmas Day. Football was once as much of a Christmas Day staple as the Queen's speech and pigs in blankets. But was it all festive fun or just a freezing farce? Paul Brown dons his silly hat. For football fans, the Christmas period serves up a real festive feast, with fixtures stuffed into the calendar like sage and onion into a turkey's nether regions. Christmas Day, however, is a football-free zone, with supporters left to sit indoors and endure the Queen's speech, cracker jokes and kisses from elderly relatives. This wasn't always the case, as up until the 1950s, football was traditionally played on Christmas Day. This made a lot of sense, particularly in the early years. Christmas Day was a rare public holiday and football was one of the few entertainments available. In the days before television, it wasn't possible to slump on the sofa in front of the EastEnders Christmas special, so folk wrapped up in new hats and scarves from Santa Claus and went out to watch football instead. There would be a full program of fixtures on Christmas Day and, usually, another full program on Boxing Day. And in the Victorian era, when many of the festive traditions we enjoy today were introduced, football was as much a part of Christmas as jingle bells and mince pies. In 1888, Everton played 2 matches on Christmas Day, then another on Boxing Day. All 3 matches took place at Everton's pre-Goodison home, Anfield. On Christmas morning, they played a Lancashire Cup tie against Blackburn Park Road, coming from behind to win 3-2. Then, in the afternoon, they played an annual exhibition match against Ulster FC, winning 3-0, with goalkeeper Charles Jolliffe scoring the third goal to the great amusement of the 2,000 spectators. A large crowd for the time. The Boxing Day match against Bootle was less amusing, being played in a shower of hailstones and ending as a goalless draw. The first Football League match to be played on Christmas Day was Preston North End versus Aston Villa in 1889. Preston's Invincibles were the reigning league champions, but Villa had won the previous meeting between England's top two sides. This was a real Christmas cracker, and 9,000 spectators postponed their turkey dinners to see it, making it one of the highest attended games the fledgling league had seen. Man of the match was Preston's Nick Ross, the fearsome defender turned forward who terrified opponents by hissing at them through a crooked set of rotten teeth. Ross gave Preston an early lead, but Villa hit back with two goals before half-time. In the second half, Ross hit a long-range equaliser and then claimed his hat-trick with a lightning shot. A hard-fought game ended 3-2 to Preston, who went on to win the league for the second season running. Here's some music for Preston and Aston Villa.
P&E, P&E, we love you, P&E. We're the greatest team there's ever been in the country. We don't come from Blackpool or from Burnley. The crowd all cheer, proud of Lancashire. We love you, P&E. Come on, you Lily Whites.
Diddly beat, diddly beat. Hot stuff and it ain't no bluff. Dahlia, Dahlia.
So on we go in the Herrengedeck with football on Christmas Day. Clubs often play derby matches on Christmas Day, and one of football's biggest early derbies was Blackburn Rovers versus Darwin. In 1890, a match between the sides at Ewood Park ended in a Christmas Day riot, with very little seasonal goodwill on display. Rovers, saving their best players for a Boxing Day match at Wolves, fielded a reserve side. An aggrieved Darwin initially refused to play before eventually offering up their own scratch 11. At this point, several thousand short-changed supporters of both sides united to show their displeasure. The impatient crowd burst on the field, smashed the goalposts, and damaged the stands, reported the Birmingham Daily Post. No game took place, therefore. As the Football League expanded, clubs began to travel longer distances for Christmas Day matches. There was no public transport shutdown, so fans and players could take trains and buses for festive away trips. It was customary to play return matches on Christmas Day and Boxing Day against the same opponent to ensure that paired-up teams had equal distances to travel. In 1908, the return matches produced a series of mirrored results. For example, Manchester City bet Chelsea 2-1 on Christmas Day, and Chelsea bet City 2-1 on Boxing Day. And Bristol City bet Bradford City 1-0. Then Bradford City bet Bristol City 1-0. From counts for little in these games, said The Times ahead of one Christmas program. Injuries and generous train play an important part, and the happiest team is that which has the strongest reserves. In 1909, a Christmas Day match between Partick Thistle and Hibernian ended in tragedy when Hibs and Scotland defender James Mayne suffered a fatal injury. Partick's Firhill pitch was covered in ice, and Mayne told colleagues they were risking life and limb by playing on the treacherous surface. Just before half-time, he was involved in an accidental slippery clash with Partick's Frank Branscombe and was carried from the pitch with severe bruising and stab marks on his stomach. The depleted Hibs eventually lost 3-1. Maine went home, but was later rushed to hospital, where it was discovered that he had a ruptured bowel. An emergency operation couldn't save him, and he died on the following day. Music. The most famous Christmas Day football match took place in 1914, when one of the deadliest conflicts in human history was paused for a kickabout. The First World War Christmas truce saw around 100,000 troops along the Western Front exchange gifts, sing carols, and play football. The match has attained mythical status, but letters from soldiers provide evidence that it did take place. A recently uncovered letter written by Staff Sergeant Clement Barker of the 1st Battalion Grenadier Guards explains how the match started. A German looked over the trench. "No shots," he wrote. "Our men did the same, and then a few of our men went out and brought the dead in and buried them. The next thing, a football was kicked out of our trenches and Germans and English played football. Sergeant Barker survived the war, but more than 16 million soldiers and civilians were killed. The suspension of league football and the absence of players during the First World War led to the emergence of several women's teams, the most popular of which was Dick Kerr's Ladies, who played the first match on Christmas Day 1917. Festive celebrations were understandably muted, with friends and loved ones fighting abroad, but it was felt that a Yuletide football match could provide spectators with a much-needed boost and raise money for charity. The players, led by Captain Alice Kell, were wartime munitions girls who worked at a Preston factory owned by Dick and Kerr. The match was played at Deepdale against Coulthard's factory, and Dick Kerr's won 4-0. "Their forward work was often surprisingly good," reported the Daily Post, "one or two of the ladies showing quite admirable ball control." 10,000 fans watched the Christmas spectacle, raising £488 for local hospital. Playing football on a religious holiday was a contentious issue at a time when Sunday football was still banned and some footballers abstained from playing in Christmas Day matches. Participation was actually voluntary, with FA rules at the time stating that no club shall be compelled to play any match on Good Friday or Christmas Day. Star players like England internationals Arthur Bridget of Sunderland and Harold Fleming of Swindon refused to play on religious grounds. And up until 1925, the entire Arsenal team were prevented from playing Christmas Day matches on their own religious ground. The land Highbury was built on was owned by St. John's College of Divinity, and the terms of Arsenal's lease prohibited them from playing matches on religious holidays. But Arsenal bought the land in 1925, and at 11:15 a.m. that Christmas morning they played the first Christmas Day match against Notts County, in front of 33,500 fans. Arsenal won 3-0, with Charlie Buchan among the scorers. Good old Arsenal.
The Arsenal! The Arsenal!
Arsenal!
busy festive fixture list proved extremely lucrative for clubs, but wasn't so popular with players. Many were committed drinkers and unable to resist seasonal excesses. Some clubs even provided their players with booze as a Christmas treat. Clapton Orient striker Ted Crawford, later a popular manager and raconteur, recalled his entire team turning up drunk for a Christmas Day match against Bournemouth in 1931, courtesy of a barrel of beer provided by their manager. Crawford was unable to see straight and ended up collapsing on the pitch in a sozzled heap. Clapton, now Leighton Orient, lost 2-1 but sobered up sufficiently to win the Boxing Day return match 1-0. On Christmas Day 1937, it was fog rather than alcohol that hung over football. Britain was covered in a thick grey blanket, forcing many league games to be postponed or abandoned. The game between Chelsea and Charlton at Stamford Bridge went ahead and both sides scored a goal, but in the second half the fog thickened and Charlton keeper Sam Bartram began to lose sight of his teammates. "We were on top at this time," he remembered in his autobiography, "and I saw fewer and fewer figures as we attacked steadily." Bartram paced up and down his goal line, assuming that his side had the opposition pinned in their own half. After several lonely minutes, a figure emerged from the fog. "What on earth are you doing here?" inquired a puzzled policeman. "The game was stopped a quarter of an hour ago. The field's completely empty." "When I groped my way to the dressing room," wrote Bartram, "the rest of the Charlton team, already out of the bath and in their civvies, were convulsed with laughter." Christmas Day football continued during the Second World War and delivered a stocking full of goals. On December the 25th, 1940, Norwich faced a Brighton & Hove Albion team that arrived with only 5 players. 1 senior, 3 juniors and a loney. And cobbled together an 11 using volunteers from the crowd. Norwich won 18-0 with Fred Chadwick scoring 6. The 40 wartime league matches played on Christmas Day 1940 provided 210 goals. Southern bet Clapton Orient 9-3, Bournemouth bet Bristol City 7-1, Mansfield bet Stoke 7-2 and Bury and Halifax drew 5-5. Several teams played 2 games that day. Leicester lost 5-2 at Northampton in the morning, then Northampton lost 7-2 at Leicester in the afternoon. With guest players allowed to turn out for different teams, Tommy Lawton played for Everton against Liverpool in the morning and for Tranmere against Crewe in the afternoon. And Lance Shackleton played for Bradford Park Avenue against Leeds in the morning, then scored for Bradford City against Huddersfield in the afternoon. In 1941, with football at its post-war peak of popularity, almost 3.5 million fans attended the Football League's Christmas programme of 3 matches over 4 days. Bumper crowds were boosted by fans for whom the Christmas Day match was their only game of the season. Christmas match reports from this turnstile spinning era convey a particularly jovial atmosphere. Fans would join together to sing carols before kickoff, then pass around cigars and share hip flasks of Christmas spirits. Match programs were adorned with sprigs of holly and contained season's greetings from club directors, staff and players. Here are some musical greetings.
To my house to say.
on we go with the football on Christmas Day here on 102.6 Radio Free FM. One strange post-Second World War Christmas football custom involved fans throwing orange peel at players. Oranges were a heavily rationed luxury and a popular Christmas gift. People saved it up in their stockings and brought it to the ground just to chuck it at opposition players, recalled Manchester United's Charlie Mitten. Actually, not just opposition players. It wasn't only domestic football that was played on Christmas Day. The first match of the inaugural Intercities FAS Cup tournament, the precursor of the Europa League, was played on December the 25th, 1955. The sides involved were Barcelona 11, effectively the Barcelona club side plus one player from Espanyol, and a Copenhagen 11 known as Davenet. Playing at the Camp Nou, Barcelona raced to a 4-0 halftime lead. Stavner pulled two goals back in the second half, but Barcelona eventually won 6-2 with the great Laszlo Kubala among the scorers. On the same day, Real Madrid played Partizan Belgrade in the quarterfinals of the first European Cup competition. Real won 4-0 with Alfredo Di Stefano scoring the fourth. Barcelona went on to win the FAS Cup and Real Madrid won the European Cup. Several international matches have been played on Christmas Day, most notably in South America, where Argentina, Brazil, Ecuador and Paraguay have all played Copa America ties on December 25th. In Europe, France played Christmas Day friendlies against Belgium in 1952, 55 and 63, losing all three, and also played against Bulgaria in 1957, drawing 2-2. Other sides that have played international matches on Christmas Day include China, South Korea, Israel, Palestine, Ghana, and Uzbekistan. Most recently, on December 25, 2012, United Arab Emirates beat Yemen 2-0 in a friendly match in Doha. As far as white Christmases go, the Christmas of 1956 was one of the whitest on record. Officials of Football League clubs are not among those who dream of a white Christmas, commented The Guardian. However, although bad weather plus a petrol shortage kept many spectators at home, all of the Christmas Day fixtures went ahead. 1950s footballers were a hardy breed, and games were played in 3 inches of snow and driving winds. There was only one submission to the elements. Coventry's match at Newport was abandoned due to a snowstorm, and the return match on Boxing Day was postponed. The Guardian subsequently referred to the unfortunate Sky Blues as the club that Santa Claus forgot. Christmas Day 1957 was the last with the full league program. The arrival of floodlights and evening games had removed the need for fixtures to be squeezed into public holidays, and many fans were preferring to stay at home with their families on Christmas Day. In the First Division, on December the 25th, 1957, Blackpool beat Leicester 5-1, Manchester United beat Luton 3-0, and Sheffield Wednesday and Preston drew 4-4. Chelsea beat Portsmouth 7-4, with 70-year-old Jimmy Greaves scoring 4 for the Blues. Here are the Blues. In 1958, there were only 3 First Division matches played on December 25th, and in 1959, just one. The last English league match played on Christmas Day was Blackpool versus Blackburn in 1965. A crowd of 21,000 turned up to see Blackpool win 4-2. In Scotland, where Christmas Day football wasn't as big a tradition as it was in England, football was only played when December the 25th happened to be a Saturday. The last matches played were Clydebank versus St Mirren, 2-2, and Alloa versus Carlton-Beth, 2-1, in 1976. A planned revival of Christmas Day matches failed in 1983. Third Division Brentford had arranged to play Wimbledon at 11 a.m. on Christmas morning. We hope to revive the old tradition of the husband going to football on Christmas Day while the wives cook the turkey, said Brantford official Eric White. However, the rather sexist plan backfired and protests by both sets of fans saw the match brought forward to Christmas Eve. Wimbledon won 4-3. Christmas Day football is still played in Northern Ireland, where the Steel and Suns Cup final is traditionally held on the 25th of December. The tournament for intermediate teams is almost 120 years old, having been founded in the 1890s by Belfast jeweller David Steele. The 2012 final was won by Glentoran II, the Premiership club's reserve side, who bet Arts 3-0. However, it was subsequently found that the winners had fielded a player in an earlier round, and they were stripped of the cup. The 2014 final will again be played on Christmas Day, and for anyone craving a Yuletide fix of football, Belfast Sea View Ground is the place to be. In 1930, during the early days of radio, the BBC provided a Boxing Day treat in the form of live commentary of the second half of Arsenal versus Manchester City. The sides had drawn 1-1 on Christmas Day at Main Road, and listeners heard Arsenal win 3-1 at Highbury. The commentator, football's first, was George Alison, who later became Arsenal manager. On Boxing Day 1939, fans got to hear a wartime match between Sheffield Wednesday and Chesterfield. Or part of it. Anyway, the program only lasted 30 minutes. The first Christmas match to be broadcast in full was Brentford versus Sheffield United on December the 26th in 1946. Brentford won 2-1, and live matches soon became a regular feature of Christmas radio listings. Christmas TV listings, though, remained football-free. Match of the Day began in 1964, but there was no festive edition until Boxing Day 1970. Football fans could watch Football Focus and Final Score during the Christmas holidays, but with Football League Scrooges fearing that TV coverage would reduce lucrative gates, there were no televised matches. The league finally agreed a TV deal in the mid-1980s. And eventually, on December the 27th, 1988, ITV brought viewers a televised Christmas match, Norwich versus West Ham, live from Carrow Road. Norwich won 2-1, and the commentator was Martin Tyler, who is still commentating on Christmas football some 26 years later. Some music, the match of the day. Now, this has been 16 minutes of Herrengedeck, Fußballkultur mit Musik on Radio Free FM. Thank you for listening. So we had our own radio report on Christmas football. If you would like to listen to the show again, you can do that. Just visit the World Wide Web, freefm.de/program/Herrengedeck, or visit the Herrengedeck on Facebook or herrengedeck.blogspot.de. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Have a good start tomorrow. I'll be here for you again in 2 weeks. Cheers.